Our Monday afternoon thing, Rich Kimball with you. Time for us to welcome in from the Boston Globe and Boston.com, our friend Chad Finn. Hello there, Chad.
Hello, Rich. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. How's your Monday? How's your New Year so far?
My Monday's good because I'm off today because instead of giving us all the overtime we used to get, now we work Sundays and get the Monday off afterwards. So I kind of like it this way a little bit. Felt like a little mini vacation.
But then you have to deal with those annoying radio guys.
That's right. Yeah, two of them on Mondays. The Portland guy, too. It's just too much to bear.
All right. We'll get to the somewhat less important stuff later, but I have to ask about your new avatar. Who is that guy?
That's me in, like, 2002. No, I get the official column headshot, mugshot, cartoon now. Like Shaughnessy's had all these years. It used to be back in the olden days, the 1980s or whenever, it used to be like those dot matrix kind of thing.
Right.
Bob Ryan and Shaughnessy and Jackie had. And that's the updated version. We all look like Simpsons characters. They gave me way more hair than I have, for one thing. So I'm very grateful.
Well, and you got, it looks like a little goatee going there.
I got the beard, yeah. If you look closely, you can see the little whites in there. On that.
Oh, okay. Because I was looking at the little small image, and it looked like they didn't fill in the beard properly.
Nope, it's just a very handsome version of me, and a less battered version than what I am now.
I mean, it's impressive either way. If I had one that good, I may use yours and just claim it's me.
It's actually my badge to get in the building.
Wow.
That's the photo they used on it. They either use that or one where I'm like wearing this pink shirt that I always seem to be wearing in every photo they've ever taken of me. So,
all right. Well, it's nice. I like it. I'm impressed with it. I'm just a little jealous. I'm not going to lie. Let's talk about yesterday. It's only the Jaguars, but yeah, it was still a pretty impressive performance, no matter who you're playing.
Kind of exactly what you want to see, right? No suspense, scoring, their first touchdowns, their first five drives, might've been even more than that. Charging down the field and punching it in pretty much any way they wanted to. Stevenson, two touchdowns in the second half. Harris, two rushing touchdowns in the first half. You had Jacoby Myers getting one in the air, and Christian Wilkerson getting a couple, one of the stars of training camp this summer who finally got an opportunity here. So, it's if you're trying to draw up your best-case scenario for how that game was going to go, that was it. Probably the only thing they have to be disappointed about is if I were a defensive back and didn't get an interception in that game, I might be a little bit annoyed. It felt like they were being handed out by Trevor Lawrence and just kind of that hopeless offense that he was playing with three offensive linemen out and really having had no coaching through the start of his career with Urban Meyer as his coach. There were picks there for the taking, and with Jackson Duggar and Bryant all got one, but McCourty must be feeling pretty empty, and Phillips today must be feeling pretty bummed out that they didn't each get one too.
Phillips perhaps feeling a little bit better though about things because he's got that new 3-year contract extension.
It's a great deal for the Patriots. It seems like, yeah. Isn't it about $5 million a year? But he had a really great quote yesterday. He was asked about it. It was the first time he's talked about it. Been available since the deal was announced, and he said it's worth looking up on Twitter or wherever, but he basically said, you hear it when you're outside of New England and it's not a lot of fun, and then you get here and you realize it really is fun. It just happens to be all about winning and taking winning seriously. And he seems to be one of those guys who, he came here in a situation last year that was obviously a transition year. And probably a little different circumstances for him coming in than most players who come here get in their first year. You get so used to winning, but this season he's gotten to see what it's like to play for a really good Bill Belichick team. And he's one of those guys who fits into to what Belichick likes to do, and really seems to get that kind of Patriot way of doing things. So really good player, and it's good they're keeping him around for three more years.
When you mentioned the quarterbacks, it really was a case study yesterday in how young quarterbacks can be handled well and allowed to grow and to be nurtured. And then what happens when you have, well, no direction at all in the case of poor Trevor Lawrence?
Well, Mac has just got the best case scenario deal in football for any quarterback coming into the league. Wasn't a ready-made roster he came into, but one that reloaded with free agency and is a above average, maybe quite a bit above average NFL roster at this point. Will probably get better. He gets to play for Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. And the skill set that happens to have the skill set that they like in a quarterback. So the match is just perfect for him. You can't put a young quarterback in a better position to succeed than what he has coming in here. And the contrast with Lawrence with the Jaguars is staggering. He's so talented. You can see how talented he is. He moves well. He throws a nice ball. He's completely lost, too. He locks in on his receivers, and they were sitting on interceptions yesterday. The Duggar one, I mean, he could have yelled to him that he was going to throw it. It was so obvious. And it makes me wonder what kind of coaching he's had. I mean, Meyer was a joke, but was he just getting by on his ability and his own work ethic in college and really didn't get any guidance from, you know, Dabo Sweeney or whoever? Because this seems like a kid who really talented but has some fundamental flaws that he has to correct, and they were exposed yesterday. I hope it works out for him because you love seeing young quarterbacks succeed and new stars come into the NFL, and he was the no-brainer number one pick, but boy, is he lost right now. I feel bad for him.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Have we seen the last of N'Keal Harry?
Unless they're converting him to offensive tackle, he got the week off to put on 10 pounds or something. But I don't think we have. I think we've seen certainly any chance of him having a relevant role pretty much evaporate here. I mean, last week, 2 weeks ago against the Colts, he had that great 54-yard catch and felt like, oh, yeah, maybe now he's turning a corner, and then he just has a terrible drop last week. It may remind you of all the times that he's failed to make plays or converted what should have been a catch into an interception for the other team just by having the ball deflected off him. But they really do like his blocking, and he has been good at it. And I can see circumstances where he's out on the field where they think it's going to be a real run-heavy game. You know, the crappy weather game in Buffalo that they won. Another situation like that in the postseason, I could see him playing. But he's probably done with having the football thrown his way in any important times. And Wilkerson's a kid who got really good reviews in summer, you know, had a couple spectacular days, had other days where he's dropping the ball, but you heard players talk about how hard he worked and how much time he was putting in to get it, and it's always nice to see somebody like that get rewarded with an opportunity and then to seize that opportunity like he did with two touchdowns yesterday.
Everybody's weighing in on the Antonio Brown situation. I find it very sad on several levels that this is a troubled guy that obviously needs a whole lot of help, and he's not getting it.
Yeah, it's I think back to that perfect hit, one of the most violent hits you'll ever see in the NFL, directly to the head, helmet to helmet, and Brown was just out on contact. He's been a nuisance, pain in the neck, any more blunt way you want to put it, for a long, long time. I think Mike Tomlin deserves a lot of credit for dealing with him for 9 years with the Steelers. But obviously something has changed with the guy in the last few years for all the stuff that he's done off the field. Stuff, you know, he probably should have faced greater consequences for than he did. And then just football-wise, a much less important thing, obviously, but football-wise is complete distrust of authority, his flying off the handle and letting his team down. You could have told me that there was a guy to guess the player who's going to walk off in the middle of a game, rip his shirt off, throw his pads in the stands, all that. and you give me one guess, that's probably the guy you guessed, and that's just an indictment of all the nonsense he's put out there the last few years. But you have to wonder what the cause of it is too.
Well, John Madden, we have to talk about him passing away last week, and you look at the giants of the game, the Lombardis and the Halluses and the Bill Parcells and others. Is there anybody who's had a bigger impact on the NFL and its staggering level of success than John Madden?
Nobody is more universally liked, that's for sure. And especially across generations, football fans, the older generation, I remember him as just a coach of one of the most interesting teams in NFL history, with those 70s Raiders, and retiring at 42, and then generations upon generations remember him as the A-list color analyst and pitch man on television, and the ultimate guy you'd like to have next to you on the couch talking to you about the game. Kind of subtly taught you a lot about the game, but I don't think many of us realized until we looked back and said, yeah, all those scribbles he's writing on the board, he was actually teaching us a lot. And then, of course, the Madden video game, which, people talk about that being the young kids now. I was playing that game in the 90s. Mm. It's been around for a long time. And it was a remarkable life, and I think it's pretty amazing that somebody can be completely true to who they are and authentic, and still have everyone love you. I think that tells you what a life well lived it was. And I was really happy that Fox documentary aired the week before on Christmas Day, and that he got to see it. And if you watch the end of the documentary, it's his son, one of his two sons, talking about what a great dad that he was. And you have all the who's who of the NFL giddy that they get to talk about John Madden and how much he meant to them, and then you realize also that he's a pretty great family guy as well. This is someone you wish you had more people like him, but really he's an original.
I was touched to read about what he did and how much attention he paid to Daryl Stingley after his injury.
Yeah, Stingley thought he wrote in his biography he thought that was the real reason that Madden retired after the 1978 season as his last year coaching. Part of it was he had a fear of flying. He had a panic attack on a plane that's mentioned in the documentary, and just couldn't do that part anymore. But Stingley, who Madden and his wife came to visit every day while he was in the hospital for 2 months out in the Bay Area after Jack Tatum paralyzed him in that hit in that preseason game in 1978. He thought Madden was so hurt and so affected by what happened to him that it might have been a factor in him deciding that he couldn't coach anymore. I don't know if that's true, because it's not like Madden lost any affinity for football. He still cared about it as much as he did, but for years upon years after that. But it was clear that the bond that he developed with Stingley and tried to develop with Stingley had a great effect on Stingley. He said, I love that man. That's how he described that relationship in the book.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Chad, appreciate you making time for us on your Monday day off. Go humor those Portland guys and keep them in line.
I'll do that, Rich. That's how it always goes. I end up hanging up and swearing to myself for about 5 minutes.
Oh, I hate to think what you do when we get done. I don't want to know.
Oh, no. All good. All good. I revert to looking like my columns did 20 years ago. I'm always happy.
I have that effect on people. Thank you. As always, Chad, we'll catch you again soon.
See you, Rich.